Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing with volume 33, 128, 1934. So Louisa says, I was making my rounds. It should be, I was praying my rounds in the divine fiat. And my poor mind paused now at one point of its divine acts and now at another. So as we make our rounds in the divine will, Jesus will show us something to focus on. It's not us. Like somebody says, I prayed my rounds. I got done with my rounds. And when you're making your rounds, when you're praying your rounds, if you're outside, for example, and you hear a dog barking, the Lord is saying, listen to the I love yous. I want you to give me those I love yous from a divine perspective. So again, as you're praying your rounds, you'll be interrupted because God is trying to teach us that he is leading us in this prayer. It's not us, you know, following our prayers. I got to get my prayers done. You know, it's Jesus is leading us. Jesus is guiding us. So when you hear a dog, but you're being attentive. This is what being attentive. You hear a dog barking. You're in the middle of praying God, praising God for the leaves on a tree, for the blades of grass. And for all the dogs that ever barked. I love you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I adore you. And what's happening is she was praying around the divine fiat and my poor mind paused. Now at one point if it's divine acts. Now at another. And why? God is saying, see, God is teaching us how to pray the way he prayed, the way Adam prayed. It's not this is the rote prayer that I'm going to pray. That's how we prayed with the prayers of the saints. Now Jesus is saying, I will interrupt you. And people say to me, I get distracted all during prayer. Good. Good. God is teaching you something. Remember St. Teresa when she would stand next to this one nun while she was washing the dishes. The nun was splashing water and this water was splashing her, getting her all wet. And she said to Jesus, Jesus, tell her to stop distracting me. And Jesus says to St. Teresa, it pleases me that she distracts you. What does that mean? That God wanted this annoyance? No. He wanted her to recognize that Jesus is there. So when she was splashed, what she would do in her simple soul, she would get closer to the nun so that more water would come on her because this pleases Jesus. And it wasn't that, no, the distraction. See, when we are distracted in our prayers, God is saying to us, I want to teach you something. No, I got to get my prayers done. I got to get my prayers done. Well, that's the way the saints did it. Now in the divine will, Jesus is teaching. As I was making my rounds of the divine fiat, my poor mind paused now at one point of its divine acts and now at another to watch some the beauty, some the power, and others the intermittability and so forth of the creative divine virtue. See, Jesus is teaching us something. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's our Master. He's our King. He's our God. And he wants to say, I want to teach you how I, while I was on earth, did this. Did I get annoyed? No, Jesus couldn't get annoyed. Did I get worried, fearful? No, Jesus couldn't. So he's saying to us, even in your distractions, I'm leading you, I'm guiding you. And what happens is your prayer life becomes more joyful because you go, what are you teaching me now, Lord? Okay, you'll be closing your eyes at prayer or something like that, and then you open your eyes and a bird will fly by. You know, God is saying, I want you to be the voice of praise in the flapping of the wings. I want you to be the voice of praise in the chirping of the birds. Do you see, it's not what we want to do. It's what God wants. So hey, this is what's so great. It seemed to me that all the supreme qualities of God, that's number six in the six steps. Lord, may I receive all the divine qualities that a human could possibly receive. This is what she's talking about. And it seemed to me that all the supreme qualities of God were exposed in the whole of creation to love mankind, to love the creatures, and to make themselves known. The birds flying want to make it known that you, Jesus says to Adam, you must be the voice of all creation. To Louisa, you must be the voice of all of creation. To establish a fraternal bond with them and to take them as though on their lap, to carry them what? Back to the womb of their God, their creator. Let's go back to paradise. To begin to see things from a divine perspective. All the divine qualities of God, all the divine I love yous of God, from which everything had come out. So again, what our Lord is doing is he's freeing us from our, if you want to say, regimented way of praying. You know, like I gotta finish my prayers to Saint Gertrude. I've got to finish my prayers of the novena. It's like, that's a good and holy and saintly thing. But to live in the divine will, he frees us of that. You mean God doesn't want us to do that? No, he frees us to enter into the divine qualities of God. To, like I said, we fuse ourselves in creation. Everything of creation belongs to us. Now, if it belongs to us, then we have to give back to God the divine I love you that's emanating from them to our mind, our intellect, our memory, our will. Why? So that we can speak them to God in the name of everyone and everything. Do you see why our prayers change? It becomes, you enter into the divine qualities of God. That's, again, step number 6 that Our Lady taught Louisa in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. To get to that point where you can receive all the divine qualities of God as much and as possible as a human will can receive. What saint ever taught you that? See, Jesus is now leading us to not only do the will of God like the saints, but to live in the will of God as Jesus and Mary did, the new Adam and the new Eve did, which they gave to Louisa. She says very, very clearly, take them back on the lap of God to the womb of the creator from which everything had come out. So all the acts of the divine will are mighty aids. So that's why you can get distracted. Jesus is tapping on and saying, listen to this. Look at that. Smell this. Smell that. Touch this. Touch that. Enter into the garden again to receive all the beauty that God has created for you, for all of mankind. And now return that divine I love you back to God, Jesus in you, Mary in you, the new Adam and the new Eve, through the little newborn Louisa, to love God, praise God, thank God, glorify God. So all the acts of the divine will are mighty aids, revealers for those who let themselves be dominated by them, by creation, by redemption, by sanctification. That's what sanctification is. So again, what's happening is, your whole prayer life changes. You'll be praying the rosary and all of a sudden, rah, 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 there's a dog barking and you're going, why is that dog doing this? You know, it's like, okay, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. So what's happening for all the dogs that's ever barked, I want to put a divine I love you on everything to give you, God, all the glory, all the praise that you, God, so rightly deserve. He's freeing us from doing the will of God to living in the will of God. That's what's so glorious about this. So let themselves be dominated by them and make themselves the bearer of the souls to the celestial fatherland. That's what God is doing. He's bringing us to where we were supposed to live. Our Lady said to Bruno in 1947, she said to him, my children are going to live in eternity where they belong. Lucifer and his children will be trapped in time and space for all eternity. God's freeing us from time and space right now, if we wish, if we give our fiat. Our Lady says, this is what's coming. We have to go back to where we belong. We belong in eternity. No beginning and no end. We belong in the garden where everything is still living. All the animals, all the vegetables, all the minerals are still alive in the garden. That's where we belong. We're going back to where we belong. That's what Our Lady of Revelation says. Great things are coming. There's no need to be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. It should be all, yes, fiat, fiat, fiat. Let's get this thing going. That's what God is asking of us. So he says, my blessed daughter, let us pause together to look with what mastery, what sumptuousness, what nobility, what divine power, what beauty Adam was created. He says, I want you to see this because I'm bringing you back to where Adam was before the fall. All of our divine qualities pour themselves upon Adam. Each of them wanted to show off and power itself more than thick rain over Adam, whom they wanted to establish a fraternal bond. Creation wants to do that with each and every one of us. We're the only ones out of order. Everything else is in the divine will. Mankind is out of order. Jesus has redeemed us. Mary co-redeemed with him, and now they want us to receive this life that they gave to Louisa. Sanctification. This is an amazing time to be alive. It's an amazing time to be alive. Don't limit God. Don't say, well, it's not going to happen for me. It can't happen for you. As soon as you say, it's not, I don't think it's going to, it fits for me. No, it's not for you. You can't say fiat like the Blessed Mother. You can't say fiat like Jesus. You can't say fiat like they taught Louisa. It's for those who can say fiat. That's what the divine will is for. If you can't say fiat, it's a nice book to read, but you're not going to possess it. That you have to begin where Jesus has taught Louisa. He says very clearly, all of our divine qualities pour themselves out on Adam. Each of them wanted to show off and pour itself out on Adam, more than a thick rain over Adam, with whom they wanted to establish a fraternal bond. All of them set to work. Our divine light poured itself upon Adam to form its brother in light. Goodness poured itself to form its brother in Adam. All goodness, all love poured itself to fill Adam with a love and to form its brother. All love, power, and our wisdom, our divine beauty, divine justice poured themselves upon Adam to form their brother. Powerful, wise, just, and in enchanting beauty. That is what God is bringing us back to. How can you be sad? How can you be upset about anything? If you believe what Jesus is saying, it's fiat. Let it be done to me as you say. That's what God is waiting for. An echo of the Virgin Mary's voice. Listen to what Jesus is saying. And our Supreme Being rejoiced in seeing our divine qualities, all our divine work, to fraternally bind themselves with Adam. God wants to see that in us now. That's why he gave us the book of heaven, as well as our divine will, that taking life in Adam kept the order of our same divine qualities, image and likeness of God in Adam, to make Adam as grateful, graceful, and beautiful as possibly could be. That's what God wants of us. This isn't about being good and holy and saintly. It's about what the priest says every day at Holy Mass when he puts the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. This is astonishing. Every time you read this, God expands your capacity to get more of what he is saying. The word of God is speaking to us. To receive our same divine qualities, to make Adam as graceful and beautiful as possible. So our occupation, God's occupation, the triune God's occupation was Adam. Our gaze was fixed upon Adam to make ourselves imitated, copied, and bind Adam with a fraternal bond with us, triune God, image and likeness. And this is not only in creating Adam, but during the whole course of Adam's life, our divine qualities exhibited themselves to a continuous work of maintaining the fraternal bond with Adam, whom they loved so much, who the triune God loved so much, who creation loved so much. We're supposed to be in paradise. That's heaven on earth. That's the fulfillment of the Our Father. It's very close. It's here for those who want it. He says very clearly, and after having established the fraternal bond on earth, they would prepare the great feast of the fraternal bonding to the glory in the celestial fatherland, the fraternal bonding of divine joy, of divine beatitude, of perennial divine happiness. Heaven, Eden, paradise. This is Catholic. Read the creed. This is what they're praying. That's what the creed is about, to get ready for what God is going to do, what he has done and what he has yet to do. This is why Jesus says, I love Adam so much, because Adam was created by us, triune God. Therefore, Adam is fully our own. We were sons and daughters of Adam. And now through holy baptism, we become sons and daughters of God. And baptism is the beginning of God, being in God's image. The divine will is to enter into God's likeness. This is why Jesus saved the best for last. This is why there's nothing to be worried about. God is doing this. God is in charge. You have to remember, the 100 years is over for the evil one. Now the 1,000-year reign of God begins. And we have to remember, 1,000 years is just the first day. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years is like a day. It's only the beginning of what's coming. This is why I love him so much, because he, Adam, was created by us, triune God. Therefore, Adam is fully our own. I love Adam because our divine being constantly runs upon him and pours itself over him, more than a mighty torment, to leave something of our own and then to resume the new race to always give. So here, Jesus says, I know it's been 6,000 years. In 4,000 years, he redeemed us. 2,000 years later, now it's a new beginning for us. What did Pope St. John Paul II say at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, Luis's spiritual director? What did he say on this day? He says, now we're going to enter a new and divine way of holiness. You have to understand, it's begun. What did he say? He wanted the world to get ready for what? For divine mercy. Why? He gave us in year 2000. He says, this divine mercy, Jesus says to St. Faustina, is the final devotion that I give to my church before I return. If you're not awake by this point, it's a sad situation. Listen to what Jesus and Mary have been telling us over the centuries. And now with the book of heaven, what is he saying? I want you to re-enter into paradise, where you and I belong. Jesus has got something great planned. So it is because Adam possessed something of my own. This is why I love myself in Adam, in mankind. I love him because he is destined to populate heaven and to be my brother in glory. As we shall glorify each other, image and likeness. I shall be his glory as life, and he shall be my glory as the work created by God of mine, Jesus says. Image and likeness. We go, human. What came out of the ground? And when God breathed into the dust, Adam came out. That's limiting. What came out of the dust was the image and likeness of God. So Jesus comes to earth to redeem us. Mary co-redeems with Christ. Why? To bring us back to the image and likeness of God. That's found through holy baptism, to be in God's image. And now 2,000 years later, he says, here's how the likeness will occur. Through the book of heaven. This is astonishing. Jesus says very clearly, very clearly. He says to us, as soon as I find it. So, okay, hold it. All right, I'll start right above here. So it is because he possesses something of my own. This is why I love myself and Adam. I love mankind because he is destined to populate the heaven and to be my brothers in glory, and we shall glorify each other. I shall be his glory as life, and he shall be my glory as the work of mine. Here then is the reason why I, Jesus, love so much for the creature to do as the saints have done and to live as Jesus taught Louisa in my divine will. Because with it, my divine qualities find their place of honor in mankind. And mankind can maintain the fraternal bonding, or God can maintain the fraternal bonding with the soul. This is what's coming. This is magnificent. This is magnificent. God is finally saying, finally, 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 what Adam lost, man, human, now has through Louisa. This is astonishing. This is astonishing. Without it, without the divine will, mankind can find no peace. Nor does mankind know where to put themselves. This is why people are trying to be happy and ending up in hell. You can't find happiness outside of holiness. What is the three promises? The first promise to Abraham, which we pray in the creed, in the canticle of Zechariah, to be freed from the enemy when Jesus died on the cross. Free to worship God without fear. That's the Holy Eucharist. And then finally, to become holy and righteous in God's sight all the days of our life. Who is holy? God alone. Who is righteous? God alone. What does that mean? We re-enter into his image and likeness. This is why Jesus says this. Without it, they find no place, nor do they know where to put themselves. The fraternal bond is broken, and my life remains suffocated. This is suffocated. Jesus dying on the cross is suffocated. He says, I want you to be resurrected. I want you to live a resurrected life now, not later, now. My daughter, what a gloomy change when the creature withdraws from my divine will. I, God, can no longer find my image, nor my likeness, my life growing in the soul. My divine qualities feel ashamed to remain bound as brothers and sisters with her, because the human will, disunited from the divine will, has made everything upset and sluggish. Therefore, take to heart, listen to this, to never get out of my divine will. Jesus says, read this, study this, put this into practice. Why? I want you to never go out of my divine will. You'll be miserable. With the divine will, you shall be the fraternal bond with everything that is holy, and you shall be the sister of all of our works, the brother of all of our works, and shall hold in your power your Jesus himself. Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus, beat in my heart beating. Jesus, walk in my walking. Jesus, dance in my dancing. Jesus, sing in my singing. The power that's in the divine will is unbelievable. That's not your power. It's Jesus in you. 5:33, 9:24, 19:34. But while my mind was wandering within the divine will, I felt the strong bonds of the inseparability, and my sweet Jesus repeating his little visit to my soul told me everything in the divine will is inseparable for the one who lives in the divine will. Inseparable from the heavens, inseparable from the sun, and for the whole of creation, then there's nothing that can separate from the soul. And it seems that everyone and everything says to Louisa, and to the souls linked to Louisa, we are inseparable from you. This is why when you pray your prevening act in the morning, you fuse yourself with the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You fuse yourself to Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, the reflection of the Trinity on earth, which is found in volume 17, May 4th, 1925. And then you fuse yourself to all of creation. You fuse yourself to all of redemption. You fuse yourself to all of sanctification. This is everything. Nothing can be separated from you. You are inseparable from what God has produced, who God is, and what God wants for you. Listen to this. At my very pains that I suffered on earth, my life, my work, say to the soul, we are yours. They surround the soul. They invest the soul. They take the place of honor, and they bind themselves to the soul, to us, to Louisa and us, with inseparable bonds. And here is how the creature who lives in my divine will feels always little. Like I said, Father Bucci says, to live in the divine will, you have to be little, insignificant, and nothing. He says, because feeling the inseparability with so many works of God, of God's love, the great and innumerable gifts of God from my light, from my sanctity, the soul is truly the tiny little one in the midst of all of my works. We become that drop of water entering into the cup filled with wine. That drop of water fuses and diffuses. May we share in the divinity of Christ and becomes wine. You see what God has planned? He didn't share this with the saints. He hinted at it through the saints. And everything in the church points to the divine will. Everything points to this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies. And now God is saying to us, it's going to begin. So he says to us, here's the book of how and why this is going to happen. Great things are in store. Amazing things are in store. It's a new beginning for mankind. This is what God has planned. And we are in his plans. So if you have the book of heaven, Jesus says, I don't care how you got it. Your grandmother couldn't have given it to you. He says, I have planned that you had this book from the beginning of time. I know what you're going to read. I know what you're going to study. I know what you're going to put into practice, Jesus says. I have plans for you. God has got great plans. Great things are right around the corner. Amazing things are right around the corner. Volume 33, 11, 18, 1934. Therefore, our fiat has placed inside each created thing and invested them with a love, one distinct from the other, so as to say to the soul, I love you powerfully. While in another place, with the sweetness of our love, someplace else, the loveliness, someplace else, the gentleness, somewhere else, the love of that enraptures and binds and conquers in such a way that the creature would not be able to resist us, triune God. In some, each created thing, we place the weapon of our distinct love. And by remaining invested with these specialties of weapons of love, see, we're at war. It's not between people. It's between heaven and earth. It's between heaven and hell. And God is saying, I'm going to win. And I'm going to give you the weapons to win. These are the weapons of love. The soul would be able to tell us, not only with words, but with deeds, just as we do, I love you with powerful love, my Lord, my Savior, my Master, my King, my God, my all. My love for you is sweet and is a lovable and gentle, so much so that I feel myself languishing. I feel faint. I feel the need of your arms to sustain me. And upheld by you, Lord God Almighty, I feel that my love enraptures you, binds you, conquers you. These are the same weapons of love with which you armed me and are loving you and are waging battle in order for us to love each other. It's weapons of love. That's what the divine will is. The kingdom is at hand. Jesus said 2,000 years ago with Louisa, the kingdom is here. And Jesus is saying, it's yours if you want it. It's yours if you wish. 5:34, 12:8, 19:35. Oh, how we felt bound and made as though prisoners by the love of this most holy Virgin Mary. This is God, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit said, we felt bound. We were made as though prisoners. Why? Of the love of the Virgin Mary who lived in the divine will. More so since as she loved us, adored us, prayed, and operated with growing act of our fiat that she possessed, so did she enclose her creator within herself. Because of the love of Mary living in the divine will, she became the bearer of God. As she loved us, so did we feel absorbed into the Blessed Mother, unable to resist the Blessed Mother. Her power was so great that she dominated us and enclosed our sacrosanct Trinity within herself. So when you look at Mary, what happens? You see the daughter of the Father. You see the mother of the Son. You see the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. That's Catholic. That's beautiful. That's why we honor her. We can see the reflection of God in her. And Jesus says, her power is so great that she dominated us and enclosed within her our sacrosanct Trinity within herself. And we, triune God, love the Blessed Mother so much that we let her do whatever she wanted. So what has she been doing? She's been going all around the world, marking the little children the holy divine will so that no harm can come to them. Those are the words of Jesus. Are you marked by the Blessed Mother? How do you know you're marked by the Blessed Mother? If you're praying the rosary, you're marked by the Blessed Mother. If you're wearing the scapular, you're marked by the Blessed Mother. If you attend First Saturday Masses, you are marked by the Blessed Mother. Why? You're wearing the clothing of heaven, the scapular. You are saying, basically, I want to be reclothed in nobility, divine nobility. You're praying the rosary. I want to remember what Jesus did while on earth. I want my memory to be of Jesus. So your intellect, you're beginning to think from a divine perspective. Your memory is that of Jesus and Mary. And then your human will is to say, I no longer want to live this life of misery, this life where I have to go to confession each week. I want to begin to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. That's what Jesus is saying. So he says to the Blessed Mother, whatever you want, we are going to do. So Our Lady teaches us. What did Our Lady say? Our Lady said to the children of Fatima, pray the rosary, wear the scapular, attend First Saturday Masses. Not much. Who does that? Who's marked? What did Our Lady say to Sister Mary Ephraim in the United States? She says, I want to be processed in, I want my statue to be processed in the shrine in Washington. And then she said, then I will protect America and the world. That was in 1956. What did Our Lady say in all the other apparitions throughout the world? Is Our Lady working in our lives? Are we one with the Blessed Mother so that she can accomplish what she wants? Jesus says it very clear. He says it very, very clear. He says, We let her do whatever she wants. Good things are coming, but there has to be some cooperation on our part. There has to be. So as we pray the rosary, as we wear the scapular, as we attend First Saturday Masses, everything will fall into place. Everything will fall into place. Great things are coming, and we don't have to do much. We have to accept this proposal of Jesus to that we become his bride, and we have to listen to his mother. That's what Louisa did. And because of that, they gave her the Book of Heaven. So we're doing our little parts at this point, and now with the Book of Heaven, God will let us do a major parts that he has planned. He has planned. So what does he say in volume 34, 12, 29, 1935? My daughter, our supreme being possesses one single act, and therefore the whole creation and all creatures are nothing other than the effects of the unity of our prime act of God. When God said, fiat lux, everything began. When Our Lady said, fiat mihi, redemption took place. Now with Louisa saying, fiat voluntas tua, may your kingdom reign in this dust on earth as it is in heaven. Everything's coming. Everything's happening. He says very clearly, therefore, the whole of creation, all the creatures are nothing other than the effect of the unity of our act, and therefore the human will, unified with our divine will, becomes our continuous effect. And do you know what? This is God. This is Jesus playing with us. And do you know what this means? And he's saying, do you know what I'm saying to you through this book? It, giving always to the creature and receiving always from the creature. God breathes into us that divine I love you. We breathe back to him his divine I love you. Not human, divine. It's Jesus in us. Jesus, breathe in my breathing, beat in my heart beating. We're giving back to God what is God's image and likeness. Now I remain stupefied and fixed in the divine volition, and I comprehended many things of this union of the divine unity. And while it was one, it enclosed all creation, and all were enclosed in this unity and had sprung out from it, but sustained and unified, bound within this unity. And since it is one and all, it sustains and gives life to everything and everyone. You're participating in what God is. That paragraph right there, really study it in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Let Jesus explain to you what he wants us to begin to understand. This is, some people say, well, I don't understand it. Well, it's the language of heaven. And as you become fluent in this language, you begin to understand what God is saying. It's a beautiful thing that's happening. God is doing this. And he's doing it with us, and we are nobodies, we're nothings. And he's saying to us, do you want to receive what I originally planned for mankind? And we go, yes, Lord, fiat. He goes, good, get out of the way and let me do it. I'm going to do it, Jesus says. Volume 34, 2, 26, 1937. Indeed, we can do anything, Jesus says. The triune God can do anything. Make it a display of our love and all of our divine being. We invest the creature and let ourselves be invested. We do great things worthy of us, triune God, but with such magnanimity that all remains astonished and stupefied. That's what happens when you read this book of heaven. We're astonished and stupefied. You're going to do what? You want us to share in your divine qualities as much and as possible that a human could possibly possess? You want what? It is enough to tell you that for one more act that is done in our divine will, we, triune God, were in need of the creature. We, triune God, give so much that we increase greater bonds of unity and of love on both sides. And we, triune God, reach the point of giving to Louisa and the souls linked to Louisa, new rights over our divine being. And we, triune God, over her, over us. This is what's coming. Vine 34, you must know. Again, this is a command from Jesus Christ. You must know this. This is something that's so astonishing that God is doing this. You must know that this is the strongest bond between God and man. And that is her surrendering her human will. And in this way, the soul becomes inseparable from us, triune God, as to no longer be able to detach herself. And we feel the soul, their life as our own. That's what they did with Louisa. Because one is the will that animates us. If we give up your human will and begin to live in the divine will, we become one with God. Now, do you think that with one thought, with one feeling, these bonds can be broken, our inseparability lost, and we would surrender what is ours without any resolute and repeated acts on her part? That she wants her human will back? It's not going to happen. Daughter, you deceive yourself. More so, since our divine love is so for her is so great that as soon as she gives us her human will, we, triune God, wall up the creature. We become God's prisoner. He says, I will never lose you again. First, it's a wall of light in such a way that if she wanted to get out, the light escapes her. And if she doesn't know how and where to move her step because she finds light everywhere. And not only not knowing where to go, she draws back and hides back in the bosom of her God, her creator. The second wall is everything that my holy humanity did on earth. My tears, my works, my steps, my words, my pains, my wounds, my blood form a wall around this happy creature to prevent her exit from God. Your human will is what causes you trouble. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. That's horrible. That's going to stop with the divine will. Jesus promises Louisa that. God's got great plans. 534, 425, 1937. And I said, my love, but if the divine will takes this act with it into heaven, the poor creature remains without and all, as though empty of this act. And Jesus said, no, no, my daughter, the act is always hers and no one can take it away. And while it gladdens the celestial fatherland, it remains as basic foundation and property in the depth of your soul. And since the human family is linked to heaven and heaven to the earth, there is a bond among them such that all have the right to participate in the good that they do and are members united one to another as though naturally any good runs to give itself to all. So good things are right around the corner. Amazing things are right around the corner. God loves us so much that he has plans. And his plans are that we begin to live the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary that they gave to Louisa. That's the divine will. That's why Jesus came as the new Adam. Mary came as the new Eve to redeem mankind, so that mankind can return to sanctification. That's what the book of heaven is about. So we'll end there and we'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.